Jesus. Amen. Pastor Alberts did indeed say, Dave, would you please continue the stewardship season and cycle that we're doing? And I said, sure. But I wanted to look and find a verse that I'd never used in 42 years of ministry. So a few weeks ago, I started looking and reading, and we talk about King Solomon and his wisdom. We'll say more. Chapter 11, verse 24 is this. Please listen carefully. Solomon wrote, "One gives freely, but grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, only to suffer want." Once more. One gives freely and yet grows richer. Another withholds what he should give, only to suffer want. So let's start right here. I'd like you to change your thinking for a moment. Let's go to the circus. And you know that there's lots of things to eat and lots of things to see and do and fun parts. And along the way are the odd attractions. Every circus has someone somewhere that is this hugely muscular, gigantic strongman. Please picture the guy with bulging biceps, shaved head, huge handlebar mustache, not wearing a shirt, holding these dumbbells that are bigger than a car. He does his entire performance of strength, then he picks up a lemon and he squeezes the lemon. Oh, those muscles are just bulging. You can see his face begin to tremble, and he squeezes and squeezes and squeezes and squeezes out the juice. Then he says, "I will give $200, $200, $200 to anyone here that can get one drop of juice out of this lemon. $200. Anybody want to take me on? Anybody at all? Come on, here's the money. $200, $200. Who wants it? Come on, just come on up here. Get one drop and you got it. One drop. That's all it takes. Come on. Who wants to try me? Come on." A tiny little lady that looks very scholarly and very dainty. "I'll try." "You? You're going to try? Tiny little lady like you?" She says, "Yeah, I'll take you on." He says, "Here's the money. Show me, honey." She picks up the lemon, squeezes like you've never seen, squeezes, squeezes, and you know what happens? Out come several drops of lemon juice. The strong man pays the money and says, "What? How did you do that?" She said, "I've been the treasurer of my Lutheran church for 32 years. I don't know why you're laughing. I was here 21 of those. King Solomon reminded us of wisdom from God. And as you go through the book of Proverbs, he talks about laziness and slothfulness. He talks about drunkenness and sobriety in life. He talks about wisdom and foolishness in decisions that you make. He talked about love and appropriateness in all that we do. He talked about respect and helpful words. But then along the way, he said, whoever gives freely gains more still. Whoever withholds becomes poorer still. September 2016, the New York Times did a study. You can think of the New York Times or whatever journals you want, but I did my work, my homework. It's there. It's a credible source. New York Times surveyed giving to charitable causes. Churches principally, but it could be other charities. You know what they found since the year 1990? 1990. It's a while back. The value of a dollar given to charitable causes and churches specifically has decreased in meaningful dollars by 50%. 50% loss of meaningful dollars since 1990 in churches. Of Christian denominations, not Jewish, not Muslim, Christian family. The average Christian family gives 2.8% of whatever God has blessed them with back to the church. We understand hard times. We understand rent, payments, health care, education. 2.8%. But as I read the article, something that caught my attention. 1933, the heart of the Depression, when people had next to nothing. 1933, in American churches, people gave 3.3% of their income. When we had less, we gave more. In 2016, the survey found that Christian families that had a combined income of $75,000 or greater, 1.4% tithed. 1.4%. Christian families with a combined income of $20,000 or less tithed 3.9% of their income. In his wisdom, Solomon said, those that give freely have more. Those that withhold continue to decline. The reason I say that is as I understand life myself. There's an intersection between my heart that is grateful for God. All these years, you've been sitting in this beautiful church looking at the magnificent window. We focus on the cross of Christ. We remember sin. But let's not talk about sin generically. Let's talk about what comes from our human heart that Solomon wrote about. The disrespect, the foolishness, the unkind words, the misspent lifestyle, and say that part of all of what comes from that is an attitude that says it's really about me and taking care of myself. J.B. Phillips, an English writer that I thought much of in my seminary days, had a book that was titled, Your God is Too Small. But his thesis was, the God that you worship will be the size of the God that you need. If you can care for yourself and provide for yourself now and throughout eternity, if everything you do, grace, guilt, forgiveness, hope, healing, tiredness, whatever it may be, is in your hands, a little God is a good God. But if we need a gracious God to lift us, to quiet us at 2 a.m. when we can't sleep, to be there when we're sick, when our loved ones are in a nursing home, When we have our first empty chair at Thanksgiving because we've lost someone to heaven. I need a big God. And so Solomon says, do you realize that that God will overflow for you with good things? He wants to give you good gifts. Timothy Paul Jones, you should look him up. Christian pastor, a Baptist fella, good guy, said that he and his wife wanted to add to their family and they were not able to have other children. So after they had had their family, they said, we'd like one more. So they said, let's adopt. Let's bring a child into our family that doesn't have a family and we can't have. Good thing. So they went to an agency and the agency listened and talked and all those things and said, we've got just the person for you. We have an 11-year-old little girl who was adopted and then unadopted because the family didn't want her. Would you be willing to take an 11-year-old girl that doesn't have a family? They talked it over and said, sure. You can imagine what the days and the weeks and the first few months were trying to adjust to a new person that's 11 years old, an 11-year-old that had been adopted but then was unadopted and back in the agency, and all the parts and the emotions and the feelings and the hassles, everything that goes with it, and things were going just great. Good stuff. Good stuff. Pastor Jones was invited to go to Orlando, Florida to a conference. And you know what's in Orlando, Florida? Let's get it out of the way. That is the most unenthusiastic bunch I've heard. Everybody that can sing and shout is in New York City? You got to pick it up. Come on, I did not get up early for this. I could have stayed retired. Disney! Oh, goodness gracious. And you know what happened to the 11-year-old little girl? Once they said, we're going to go to Disney, she became a monster. She stole things from the other kids. She wandered the house. She smashed things. She was disrespectful. She talked back. She was just absolutely horrible. Everything changed. I mean, it was ugly. The family was terrorized. What happened? She said, my first family was going to go to Disney, but they didn't really love me and they didn't really want me. And you know what they did? I'll tell you what they did. They all went to Disney and they left me at home alone. They said, you're not really part of the family. And now you're going to do the same thing to me, aren't you? I don't know how you mom and dads are. Now that I'm a grandpa and I watch my kids with their teenage kids, one of the things I would have been inclined to say to my kid that just behecked is, you know what? If you don't get your act together, you're right, you're not going. If that's the way you're going to treat us after all we've done for you, well, you just stay here. Just go to your room and be that person. I don't care. If that's the way you want to play it that way. Pastor Jones never did that. Everybody's bags got on the trip. They got to Disney. And at the end of the first day, Pastor Jones got his young lady into bed, gave her a hug and a kiss, and said, honey, how did you like Disney? She said, it's the best day of my life. But you know what, Dad? It wasn't because I was good. It was because I'm your daughter, and I know you love me. I think Solomon would say that to every single one of you here today about the church, your life, your family, the collective ministry. God has blessed us beyond measure, that we can return thanks to him, and as we do, influence that world that's around us. Tithing, of course, Pastor Albert said, talk about it, and Paul does. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Give as the Lord has blessed you, not under compulsion. Jesus said, give as it's given to you, and the baskets will be overflowing, and the vats with wine, more than you can imagine, because you're grateful, not because you have to, because you want to. Being an old gray-haired guy, I sometimes reflect on what in the world did I do with you and elsewhere. And once in a while, people would sometimes come to me and say, Pastor, I can't give. I wish I would have had the wisdom then and the boldness to say, are you sure? If what Solomon wrote is true, can you afford to not give? May the Lord bless us as we freely praise his name.